So we've been talking about a couple of surveys that public policy polling has done just over the course of the past week in North Carolina. A couple of surveys indicating, among other things, that North Carolinians, and none of this really too surprising or any big change from previous surveys, but North Carolinians not really sold on the job that Pat McCrory is doing as governor when it comes to the U.S. Senate race. Kay Hagan and Tom Tillis both running neck and neck. Voters not really sold on either one candidate over the other. So what we've got right now is a situation, and again, this has been the case for a while, where Pat McCrory is relatively unpopular. Kay Hagan, Tom Tillis, both relatively unpopular. Looking at Richard Burr as well, fairly unpopular and not all that well known. Roy Cooper not really selling as a potential candidate against McCrory. Democrats are unpopular. The GOP is unpopular. No one else is well known in North Carolina. So looking at the numbers in the state of North Carolina now, as we are just out from the 2014 election, who is popular? What is North Carolina like right now when it comes to politics?
Well, North Carolina really doesn't like anything when it comes to politics, and we've been one of the unhappiest states in the country now for quite a while because Senator Hagan's never had very good approval ratings, nor has Senator Burr. Even though Governor McCrory's unpopular, Governor Perdue was even more unpopular. Mm-hmm. Governor Easley wasn't very popular either. You about have to go back 14 years to when Jim Hunt was governor to find any really high-profile politician that voters in the state were particularly enthusiastic about. We do just seem more so than other places to be a place where it's hard for anybody to break out and really become somebody that voters are in love with.
Is that something to do with North Carolinians or the state of things in North Carolina, or is that to do with the people that are putting themselves out there and running for state office?
Well, it has a lot to do with how closely divided the state is politically. It's harder for politicians to break through and be popular in a state that is split right down the middle. If you were going to be a popular Democratic politician, that means you have to have a fair number of Republicans who like you. If you're going to be a popular Republican politician, that means you have to have a fair number of Democrats who like you. And for the most part, in this era of polarization, we're just not seeing a whole lot of people who can sort of generate that appeal to folks across party lines. When we look nationally at like who the popular senators are, who the popular governors are, that kind of thing, it tends to be in states that are Republican by a 25-point margin or Democratic by a 25-point margin. And in those places, if you sort of, keep your base happy, you're going to be in good shape. But North Carolina is arguably the most competitive state in the country right now, second closest in the 08 presidential race, second closest in the 2012 presidential race. Probably going to have the first or second closest Senate race in the country this year. And as we look towards 2016, it looks like we're headed for close presidential and gubernatorial races then. And as long as things kind of continue to be topsy-turvy like that with voters really evenly divided, it's going to be hard for any individual politician to break out.
Is taking a look at those states that you mentioned with popular governors, popular senators that appeal to the base, are those politicians also appealing? Do they also have crossover appeal, or is it just the base? I'm thinking about Kay Hagan, who's running very, very consciously as a moderate. She's sort of, for the last couple of weeks, she's been really pushing the fact that she was ranked as the number one most moderate senator of the 100 in the U.S. Senate. Does that strategy generally work, or do you have to appeal to the base?
It is generally more just that folks are sort of in a one-sided state, so it makes it easier for them to be popular than anything else. You look at the most popular senators in the country right now in our polling, they're from Vermont, Wyoming, Maine, Rhode Island, all states that are really either heavily Democratic or Republican. The most popular governors are in places like Nebraska, Tennessee, stuff like that. Another thing that the states where politicians actually are popular sort of have in common is that it tends to be in smaller states. I think that one reason that North Carolinians don't feel much of a connection to their politicians is because the state's gotten so large, because the population's grown so fast, because the population's so spread out between 6-7 different media markets. It's really just harder for politicians to sort of stay in touch with 10 million voters than it is to stay in touch with 2 million voters, like in some of these smaller states where the politicians are more popular. And we definitely have seen a pretty clear relationship. The larger the state's population's gotten, the sort of lower the approval ratings have gotten. And it may be that the quality of the elected official is not that great, but it also may be that it's just harder to stay in touch with voters now than it used to be.
Is that to say that we're speaking with Tom Jensen, by the way, of Public Policy Polling. Is that to say that we're going to have to keep living with this for years and decades to come? Because I don't think North Carolina's population is going to shrink all that much.
No, I mean, it will be really interesting to see if there's a politician who actually can sort of break above the fray. If we talked a year and a half ago, I would have said Pat McCrory was that person. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he got elected in November 2012, he won about a third of Democratic voters in the state, which is a very impressive amount of crossover support this day and age. He won independents by a 2-to-1 margin when you generally see them more evenly divided than that. I thought Pat McCrory really had the potential to be the rare politician in this state who has a 55% approval rating, has a 60% approval rating. But it seems like since he's taken office, he's really just completely focused on trying to keep the Republican base happy at the expense of his standing with voters across party lines and more moderate voters. And what we find now is that his numbers with Democrats and independents are just as bad as any other politician. So it shows that tension, though. I mean, if he, if he did go too far to the center, he'd put himself at risk of having somebody run against him in the primary in 2016. So I also think one thing that's made it harder for politicians to sort of really be popular with the overall electorate is that both the Democratic primary electorate and the Republican primary electorate have sort of gone so far to the left poll for the Democrats and so far to the right poll for the Republicans that to keep your party base happy almost inherently means aggravating the other side, and it just makes it sort of hard for you to keep enough voters in the middle happy to make you popular.
And none of that is intrinsic just to North Carolina. I know you and I are both Michigan boys, and you know Rick Snyder kind of the same track in Michigan as governor, sort of ran as a moderate with crossover appeal and lost it when he became governor.
Yeah, it's a very good parallel. Rick Snyder actually had even more crossover support than Pat McCrory did when he ran in 2010, and he's seen that fade away. There's very few people in big states who we look at and say people really like that guy.
So taking a look, getting back to the 2014 election, we've got to let you go here in a minute, but taking a look at the 2014 election coming up in 2.5 months, what is the state of things for the U.S. Senate race, not just for Hagan versus Tillis, but the national race? Everyone's looking at this to see if the Republicans are going to be able to take over the Senate. All of the people who are running in 2014 are the people who ran and won in 2008, which was such a big sweep year for the Democrats. You expect the Republicans to sort of pick up a couple of seats, but what is the state of things right now?
Well, I think it's a pretty safe bet that Republicans are going to pick up Senate seats that Democrats hold right now in states like Montana and West Virginia that Mitt Romney won by about 20 points in 2012. The Democrats in those seats have retired, and odds are Republicans are going to pick those up. So there's really four seats that are sort of at the center of the battle for control of the Senate, and it's North Carolina, Alaska, Arkansas, and Louisiana. And for Democrats to keep control of the Senate, they have to win 2 out of 4 of those seats. Arkansas and Louisiana are both states that Mitt Romney won by 15, 25 points. So those are going to be particularly hard ones for Democrats to hold on to those seats this fall. And I think that means the key for Democrats to keep control of the Senate is going to be to win those Senate seats in Alaska and North Carolina. Right now, we have Kay Hagan up by 4 points in North Carolina. In Alaska, we have the Democratic Senator Mark Begich up by 6 points. But there's reason to think that both of those races are going to tighten. There's third-party candidates who are sort of taking the vote away from the Republican candidates in both of those races, that there's a pretty good chance as the election gets closer, those folks are going to end up going to the Republican instead of voting Libertarian. So, North Carolina was at the center of the political world in 2008 and 2012, and looks like it's going to be that same way again next year. This really could be the seat that decides whether Democrats or Republicans have control of the Senate.
All right, we'll see. Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Aaron.